Good morning. I want to first say that I have thoroughly enjoyed the good singing and song selection this morning. It's really thrilled my soul. You know, I'm so glad that I can tell you the time and I can take you to the place where the Lord saved my soul. And I tell you what, it's important to have that time and place where the Lord saved your soul. And the song before that, you know, we were singing Precious Memories, and I was thinking a little bit about memories that I had growing up as a child, and, you know, all the precious memories I've had have always been in the house of God. And, you know, growing up, I dreaded that just a little bit because I sort of felt like I wasn't living life, you know, as what people might consider. But looking back, I'm so glad that I had parents that cared enough for me to take me to the house of God and to hear the gospel. And, you know, looking back, I'm so thankful for the services the Lord has allowed me to be part of, where it seemed like His Spirit would move so freely and sinners would be in conviction of their sin, and they'd be seeking after the Lord. I'm thankful for those memories, but I tell you what, I'm glad today that those can't just be memories, but they can happen even today. I'm thankful for that. Ain't it good to be in the house of the Lord? I love it when the psalmist said, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go in the house of the Lord." I can relate to him so much. There's no better place that I'd rather be in this world than in the Lord's house. Even if it's a snowy Sunday on an Indiana morning, it's all right. Let us go into the house of the Lord. I'm thankful for this morning. And I'm looking forward to seeing what all the Lord has in store for us. Before we go further in the service, I do feel the need to go to Him in a word of prayer. And we would ask this morning if there might be a prayer request or anything upon anybody's hearts this morning. Anything at all? God bless. God bless you, Sister Tammy. Anybody else this morning? Amen. Amen. I'd like to ask if anybody else has anything upon their hearts that needs to be said or done this morning before we go further in the Lord's service. If not, then we're going to do our very best to preach what the Lord has laid upon our hearts for this morning. And what's already been said this morning is I'm thankful that the Lord gives us the tool that we call prayer. I am so thankful for that. I believe prayer is something that I myself don't use very often. And I believe in order for God's people, if we really want to see something happen, if we want to really see a great service that God just flows freely amongst His people, we need to talk to God about it and have faith that He'll deliver it. And, you know, and I think too, when we go to the Lord in prayer, we don't just need to pray and then pray again, but I believe that when we pray, we need to pray and have some faith that God will take care of our heart's desire, what it is that we're asking of Him. And there's a little story that goes along with that. But the thought that the Lord has laid upon my heart for this morning is, did you bring your umbrella? Did you bring your umbrella? And you might say, well, preacher, it's snowing outside and nothing's really coming down. Why are you even asking this? Well, there's a little story. Down in Hartsfield, Tennessee, several years ago, I'd say it was about the early 1900s, there was a man by the name of Brother Bridgewater Wilburn. Brother Bridgewater, if I'm correct, was also a devout man of God. But you know, back then people had a farm to make a living. And there came a drought one year. There was several weeks it went. There was no rain or nothing. Crops were dying. And there was some brethren who went up to Brother Bridgewater and they said, "Brother, if you don't mind, can we go up to the church house and pray for some rain?" And he said, "Sure." So they went on to Mace's Hill Church there in Hartsfield, Tennessee, and they went and prayed for some rain. But you see, whenever they went and prayed for rain, they didn't just go there and said, "Lord, let it please rain," and that'd be it. But they brought an umbrella with them because they was expecting God to hear and answer their prayer. They was expecting great things from God. And I think when we go to the Lord in the Lord's service, we don't just need to be here to just fill up a church pew. We don't just need to be here to be seen of men, but we need to be here to worship God. But I also believe to expect great things from God. You know, sometimes we go to church just like it's a chore, you know. Wake up Sunday morning and say, "Well, it's Sunday morning. It's about getting that time. Let's hurry up. Let's get ready. Let's go to church." You know, I remember growing up when Mom and Dad, when they would take us to church, lots of times, there was one time at one point, we had to drive an hour and a half to go to church because Dad was called to pastor in a town that was several miles away. And each and every Sunday, we would drive an hour and a half to go to church. And, you know, I remember that Sunday, there would be no music playing in the car. But it was just us trying to get in touch with the Lord. And trying to pray for the service. Trying to get ourselves, our hearts, and our minds ready for the Lord to use us. You know, there's a word in the Bible, and it's called fasting. Now, we're a bunch of old-time Baptists, and so we really don't fast that much. But you know, I believe that we don't really need to fast from food and water, even though it is scriptural to do so. But I think sometimes we need to fast from the things of this world. We need to get rid of what's standing between us and God and just get it to where it's just us and God for just a few moments of time. Folks, when you came and you hearkened the doors of the church this morning, did you bring your umbrella with you? Did you come expecting God to just move amongst us? Or did you come just to be seen of man? You know, Jesus spoke to the Pharisees and Sadducees at one point, and he said, "In vain, this people do worship me, honoring me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." It's one thing to have a lip service. It's one thing to sing all these good gospel songs and hymns and just sing them just so we can sing. But it's another thing to mean it from the heart. It's one thing to come to church and to just say, "Lord, thank you for saving my soul." And it's another thing to mean it from the heart. It's one thing to come to church and to just act like you're having a good time. And by the way, By the way, I'm so thankful here at Friendship Church that we're able to laugh and have a good time with each other. But there's a time for us to laugh. There's a time for us to joke around. And there's a time for us to be serious about what the Lord wants. There's a time for everything. And I believe that's what the Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes. There's a season for everything. Matter of fact, there's one that says there's a time to be born and a time to die. And I believe that everybody's time of dying, we don't know when it is. You better be ready for it, though. And folks, in order for these lost souls to try to get themselves ready and try to be serious, they first need to see the church be serious about the Lord's work, too. If you go with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 6 and verse 5, we're going to start our reading there. And this is Jesus teaching or preaching the Sermon on the Mount to what I believe is his disciples, to the early church. And in the fifth verse of the sixth chapter of Matthew, Jesus is saying here, he said, "When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them. For your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." And I'm going to stop right there for just a few moments of time. And that is reading the 5th through the 13th verse of the 6th chapter of Matthew. Jesus was speaking to what I believe was the early church, his disciples, and he was talking to them about prayer, as we know of. There's one thing that always gets me whenever he talks about prayer. He first of all tells them, "Be not as the hypocrites are, for they love being seen of men." You know, I think what we need to do our very best of is try to be a light in this world. Don't really care if people try to see us, but at the same time, we need to watch ourselves and make sure we try not to do these things for man's honor and glory, to try to uplift ourselves, because everything we do, it shouldn't be about ourselves, but it should be about the one who reached down and saved our soul. Everything that we try to do should be about Jesus himself. And we go in this sixth verse, and it says, "But when you pray, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast entered into thy closet, shut the door." And I was thinking about that the other day. And there at the house, we have a basement part in our house down there. And in our basement part, there's a separate room where you can just shut the door and just basically just be freed of what my wife is, whatever she's doing upstairs, you know. But I can tell you this, There's a little altar there in that little closet. And you know, with that little altar, I try my very best to talk to the Lord. Now, I believe that the Bible doesn't necessarily mean to have a literal closet to go into. Jesus just meant to get into a place where you'd have this world off your mind and your heart, where you could just be one-on-one with Him. But sometimes what I found out in my prayer life is that having a literal closet works, because it just helps shut out all the noise that's going on. And if you're like me, you get hindered real easy. And you know, Jesus was being, I believe, was being real intent when He said, when thou enterest to thy closet, you shut the door. You know, growing up, me and my siblings growing up, we'd run outside and we'd play a little bit. Sometimes we'd play a little backyard baseball, especially with some of our cousins who would come over. And there's lots of times when we would run into the house, we'd leave that door just swinging wide open. And my mother, I can hear her words ringing into my ears right now. She would say, "Were you raised in a barn?" You know, whenever she said that, you know what that automatically meant? I needed to shut that door. Sometimes when we pray, we need to be sure to have our doors shut. We need to be sure when we pray that it's that we don't have what's happening on TV in the back of our minds, but we have what God wants us to know and to hear in our hearts. And I believe the same way comes to the lost sinner. Whenever they come, they try to seek the Lord for soul salvation. They need to be in a place where they feel one-on-one with God. Amen. And you know, we go further, and Jesus was talking about what people call the Lord's Prayer. And I'll tell you this, I know of people who believe that if you repeat the Lord's Prayer, that saves your soul. And I can tell you this, it does not. Amen. It has to be a personal thing with God. But you know, Jesus, whenever He was teaching us about prayer, He wasn't giving this to us so that way we could repeat after Him, if you would say. But He was giving us a model of something that we should try to follow after whenever we do go into our Father, which we see in secret. And He said, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." The very first thing He does is He acknowledges and realizes who He is talking to. Lots of times when we go to the Lord in a word of prayer, we have to realize who it is we are talking to. We're not just talking to somebody or some fleshly man, but we're talking to the man who created the heaven and the earth. We're talking to the man who saw the sin in the world, and He sent His only begotten Son to die on the cross for our sins. We have to realize not only who we're talking to, but realize who we are in His sight. And lots of times who we really are is nothing but a bunch of weak, fleshly people. And we cannot do anything without God. And I'm going to be very honest about this. We cannot do anything without God. I tell you what, if it wasn't for the grace of God this morning, we couldn't have even rolled out of our beds. You know, I believe that we need the Lord by our side each and every step of our way in our everyday walk of life. And I believe that we need to acknowledge that. You know, there's a song that says, "Lord, I can't even walk without You holding my hands." And you know, the older that I get, the truer and truer I realize that is. Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand because this mountain that's just too high and the valley, it's too wide for me to go across. And you know what it also says in that song? Down on my knees is where I learn to stand. It starts being on tended knees. Before we even hearken into the house of God, it starts with us being on our bended knees talking to the Lord. You know, I remember a time growing up, and I'm not trying to say this to be a Debbie Downer, don't think that, but I remember a time in my life growing up, I would see people get excited about being in the house of God. Not only that, but I would see the saints of old, They'd be praying that the Lord had just blessed the service. And before they even got to the front porch of the church, the Lord already filled them up, and some of them got a little happy. Praise the Lord for that. You know, I believe today that if the Lord fills your cup up, you just feel like shouting, it's okay, just let it out. If the Lord just fills you up and you just want to cry, don't hold back the tears. It's a form of us trying to praise the Lord. And I believe that the Lord gets honor and glory out of all that. You know what that really is? Is it's the redeemed of the Lord saying so. You know, we talk about this testifying. You know, and don't get me wrong, our testimony, it's really good to testify and tell people what the Lord done for our soul when we were seeking after Him for soul salvation. But I tell you what, that's not the only testimony that you can give to the people out there in the world. You know, I remember in church service one time, my dad, you know, he was trying to preach and somebody interrupted his preaching. And I can tell you this, it's okay to interrupt the preacher when he's preaching as long as the Lord leads you to do so. You know, huh? Because it's that spirit that's just trying to freely move amongst God's people. You know, I remember somebody just interrupting my dad one time, and they said, "Brother Barber, before you go further, I just want to thank the Lord for meeting me in the tobacco field this past weekend." I tell you what, that was the redeemed saying so. You know, how many times when we go through about our daily life and we drive to work, do we talk to the Lord in that little 5, 10, maybe 30-minute car ride? How many times whenever we get done with that car ride, when the Lord meets with us, we just feel energized and ready to go to work? You know, I tell you what, there's very few times in my life that I've done that, but I'm thankful for the few times that I've had with the Lord. You know, I heard a preacher say one time, before you see the face of man in the morning, seek the face of God. And you know what? The times that I've sought the face of God before I came into work or came into church and saw anybody's face is the time that I felt more joyous and more energized and more ready to tell people about what the Lord has done for me. We need to seek after God. We need to seek after His will, not our will. You know, and that was part of this model prayer that Jesus was trying to teach. He said, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." Jesus, when He prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, what did He say? "Father, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not mine will, but yours be done." How many times can we truly say that we've asked for the Lord's will to be done? I find it very few times in my prayer life. You know why? Because lots of times His will doesn't line up with my will. What He wants doesn't line up with what I want. And I can tell you this, it's a fleshly battle trying to get myself subject to the things of God. But I can tell you what, in the book of Isaiah, God even tells us that my thoughts are higher than your thoughts and my ways are higher than your ways. Just because it's not in your will, folks, that doesn't mean we should just pitch a fit about it. Sometimes We try to wrestle with what God once done. Did you know that? You know, I could tell you this. If God moves on you to do something, folks, you need to do it. And I'm not saying that just so we could just have a real long church service, but I can tell you this. We read, what was it? Was it Jonah who was in, who was told to go to Tarshish, or was told to go to the people of Nineveh and told to preach to them, but he didn't, and he fled to Tarshish. And you know what happened? He hopped on a boat. You know what happened? There was a big storm that came a brewing. Folks, I tell you what, when you follow the Lord, you're hurting more than just yourself. You're sitting down on more than just yourself. Because what the Lord might need you to say or do could be the key, to unlock the great spiritual service that God has in store. Matter of fact, maybe what God has you to say, what needs to have you to say or do, could be what could cause somebody to realize where they stand with God and see what they need to do. I've seen that plenty of times in my life too. Matter of fact, I saw it to a point where I heard a story one time where there was a little old lady, she was getting filled up, Lord was filling her up in the A Women Corner there at church, and she felt the need to go talk to somebody, and whenever she passed by, there was a tear that ran down her eye, and it fell on a little sinner boy's hands. Hey, you know, this man, he said, whenever that tear fell on his hand, at that moment, the Lord convicted him. And I know that's probably a strange thing, but folks, it's all a part of trying to follow the leadership of God. Because He knows what's best. We don't know anything, to be honest with you. Matter of fact, if we want to get right down and honest with each other, we're not these high-minded and great people who we really think we are. What we are is just nothing but a walking clumps of dirt. And let's be honest about that. Because whenever we die, the Spirit goes to where it goes. You know, if you're saved, you're going to paradise, as the Bible says it. But if you're lost, you're going to the devil's hell. Hey, you know, this body, it just goes back to the dirt of the earth where it was made from. And that's all we are. And I'm not trying to discourage anybody. I'm thankful that in the book of Genesis, when God formed man in through his nostrils, a man breathed in the breath of life and man became a living soul. You know what that tells me? That there's two beings to mankind. There's a spiritual being and a carnal being. And you know what? We shouldn't be worried about the carnal being. Lots of times we are. We're worried about what people look. Matter of fact, lots of times we think of people of how they look. You know that? But you know what? It's not for us to look on the outward appearance. We need to be worried about that inward being. Matter of fact, you know what? God told Samuel one day, whenever King Saul disobeyed him, and Samuel went out looking for a new king over Israel, you know what God told him? He said that when you go and find this man, he said, you don't worry about his stature. You don't worry about the size of him. But you know, because you don't see the way that I see people, because man looks on the outward being and I look at what's in the heart. Matter of fact, I'm thankful that we serve a God who even reaches down to the depths of somebody's hearts. And that's how I'm able to freely rejoice this morning and say that I know I'm saved, because there, you can't tell me that there is anybody in the world who can reach down to the depths of a sinner boy's heart who was in trouble, who was hell-bound, and gave him the sweetest peace that there ever was. You can't tell me that salvation comes from mankind and really back it up with it. It just don't happen. But you know what? You know what I'm thankful does happen? I'm thankful that God lets us know who He truly is. at what he says he really is. And I'm thankful today that we're able to not only know God after he saves our souls, not just be able to thank him, but we're able to know God in an intimate way, in a really close, supernatural way where we can just be one-on-one with him. You know, they're talking about prayer. There's a song out there, and it says, it's just amazing what a prayer can do. It's moved mountains, it's parted rivers, and it's brought the dead to life again. Folks, I tell you, the power of prayer really is amazing. And if we ever want to see sinners drawn to the altar and sinners realize where they stand and be convicted, we need to pray that God just sends it down. Was in the book of Isaiah, I think it's the first chapter there, where Isaiah, I've just looked and he said, open up the heavens. Open up the heavens. You know what? We need to pray that God opens up here at Friendship Church. We need to pray that God just sends forth not just the saving power, but his holy presence to dwell in a mighty and move in a mighty and freely way. Matter of fact, I think it's one of the letters to Thessalonica that Paul was writing to, that he had told the church. He said, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord could just have free course. It needs to have free course amongst God's people. Because if it don't, boy, are we in trouble. And not just we, but those that are lost. Are we going to be in trouble? Don't sit down on the Lord. Matter of fact, this altar, we've said that it's good for lost souls to come and seek after God. I really believe that it's also good for saved people to come and seek after God. You know, Jesus, going further in the 7th chapter of Matthew, you know what he said? He said, seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Folks, we need to seek the Lord. Saved and lost sinner alike, we need to seek the Lord. You know, and there's people out there who say, well, you know, you need to do what the heart wants you to do. You know what the Bible says? That the heart is just evil and it's full of wickedness. But you know, we don't need to listen to the heart. We need to listen to God. And the best way for us to listen to God is to get down on our knees and open up our hearts and open up our ears where he can speak to us. You know, we even read in the 5th chapter of the book of James, it was talking about a good godly man, I do believe, named Elijah. And you know what it said? It said Elijah was a man of like passion. It said that he was just a man as you and me, just simple and just freely minded. But you know what it said? He said he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Ain't that amazing what a prayer can do? But I could tell you what, we need to pray earnestly. When we serve God, it needs to be of pure and an earnest heart. You know what that means? That word earnest, according to Webster's 18 and 28 dictionary, it means of a true desire. You know, you can say that you came here to serve the Lord, but the Lord knows our hearts. You can say that you came here and you tried to just come to church and do your duty. But folks, I tell you, it needs to be of the true desire of our hearts when we try to serve the Lord. A true desire. You know, when Brother Bridgewater, Wilburn, and them went to Mesa Hill Church and prayed for rain, I believe that they really desired for rain to come. And I believed that they had enough faith in God that they would that He would answer their prayers. Folks, we need to be bringing our umbrellas with us. Not just in the church house, but each and every time we try to bow down and talk to the Lord. Which really, it should be each and every day. Because the Bible tells us that we shouldn't cease to pray. You know, there was a preacher who said one time that we need to pray as much as we breathe in our air, which is constantly, all the time, be in communication with God the Father. You know, in that same chapter, that sixth chapter of Matthew, Jesus was talking about and giving a demonstration of the fowls of the air. And we talked a little bit about this in Sunday school, about having enough faith that God will provide. You know, in the fowls of the air, but Jesus told His disciples, He said, think not of what the morrow may bring. He said, consider the fowls of the air. Consider the sparrows, the birds that fly around. Consider them, because they just go about not knowing what they're going to eat, because God provides it for them. We don't need to be worried. You know what worrying is? It's lack of faith. You know what worrying really is? It's not only lack of faith, but it is sin. It is. When we worry about stuff constantly, it's sin. Because it's showing that we don't have faith that God will provide our needs. In the 78th chapter of Psalm, when the children of Israel went out and they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, said that they tempted God and they said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Sometimes when I pray, I know I say, God, can you even do this? Can God even do that? But folks, it should not be that way. Not for any child of God whenever they come and seek the Lord's desire. We need to pray, and we need to bring our umbrellas, and we need to have this faith that Jesus just so speaks about. But you know, when this faith too, James even tells us that I'll show you my faith by my works. Just because we say we have faith, do we really show it sometimes? Do we really show the world that we have faith in God? We need to think about these things, folks. Prayer, I believe, is a great tool and instrument that the Lord gives us. It's a direct line to God the Father Himself, and we don't need to waste it. As we go about serving the Lord, let us continue to call upon the name of the Lord and ask, Lord, what would you have me to do? You know, Isaiah, whenever he was up on that mountain, you know, and he saw all the sinful people. The Lord went unto him, and he said, who shall I send? And Isaiah said, Lord, here am I, send me. When we serve the Lord, let's have that kind of attitude. Lord, use us. I'm done, and I hope and pray somebody got something out of this morning. But I above all pray that the Lord got honor and glory out of it. Nothing, you know, Brother Mark, if you don't mind, get us a song. Brother Mark, Brother Danny, whoever it is.
Well, as I try to consider what you